Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick. And apparently some people believe in talking donkeys?
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
Alright, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
Do you know what happened yesterday and where the hell we are today?
Well, we just got done reading Jeremiah chapter 24.
We did.
And in that chapter, we discussed good and bad figs.
We did.
Yeah, there's apparently good ones and bad ones. The bad ones apparently are leaders. The good ones are the people who are not leaders who decided to let God enslave them for a millennia. Or not, a, no, I'm sorry, 100 years or 200 years or however long he's going to keep them there. Not a millennia, I'm sorry.
It turns out it's 70, but we're not there yet. Close.
Okay. Yeah, 70 years. Yeah. So, I mean, the rest of their life, they're going to be enslaved. Their kids will be able to be free.
Maybe. We'll see.
But not them.
Right.
So that, good, bad, either way, you're fucked.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
How's your fig?
Figtastic.
Oh, my God.
All right, that was Jeremiah chapter 24.
It sure as fuck was.
Which means that today we're getting into...
Jeremiah chapter 25.
All right, let's do this.
Okie dokie. Okay, so we are getting into Jeremiah chapter 25.
Okay.
Before we do that... I need to read you a little note.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chapter 25 is the final chapter in the first section of the book of Jeremiah.
Oh.
I didn't know that it was broken into sections.
Nor did I. We always find out about these breakups in the middle, like the break, how they break down the books.
Yeah.
Once we get into the book, because at some point you'll come across a note that's like, hey, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a section break now.
Okay.
And I'm like, cool.
So, well, that's convenient, though. We're ending this section on the end of a week, and, you know, it's around five. I mean, it's a nice five of a number,
I
like 25.
I love multiples of five, yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's all good, yeah.
This section that we just read, this first section, this first 25 chapters,
right,
deals with the earliest and main core of Jeremiah's message.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Which has been a repetition of, he coming.
Yeah.
I mean, gonna get ya.
Talk about repetition. It's fucking repetitive, and it repeats itself again, and then it repeats itself again, and then it repeats itself again.
Yes. And then there's figs.
And then there's figs, yeah.
Right. So let's get into this.
Okay. Yeah.
The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Joachim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, which was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon.
Okay.
Which Jeremiah the prophet spoke to all the people of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, okay, that was all an intro.
Right.
Of these are his words. Ready?
I'm go. Ready. Yeah.
Okay. From the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, even to this day, This is the 23rd year in which the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, but you have not listened.
Mm. They don't like you, Jeremiah.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
They don't. You're a naysayer.
They kind of, you know, wish you'd just...
Shut up and go away.
Right, yeah.
And keep your sandwich board to yourself.
Right.
And the Lord... He's still talking now.
Okay.
And the Lord has sent to you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not listened.
Hold on. All his servants, all his prophets. The only one that I'm aware of that is spreading the correct message is Jeremiah.
And Isaiah before him. And there's other ones that we haven't read yet.
Okay, but they're in different, like, but in any generation, he's talking to these people in this generation where these people are hearing the words of quote unquote God from a prophet. Mm-hmm. There are multiple false prophets. And then there's fucking Jeremiah.
Right. But what we don't know yet, because we're not there yet,
mm-hmm.
is that there's Jeremiah and a bunch of other prophets that are all spreading the same message.
Oh.
And a bunch of false prophets.
Okay.
So you still wouldn't know which group of prophets to trust, but
there are multiple voices saying the same thing that Jeremiah is saying.
Yes.
He just happens to be the ringleader.
No, maybe? He happens to be the one in this chapter.
Oh.
Or okay. In this book.
I got you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. You know how there's like, I think, two more chapters left of the major quote-unquote prophets, and then we get into those 12 minor prophets.
Sure.
Those are all prophets, too.
In the same time period, yes, though?
Yes, a lot of them, yes.
Okay,
all right. Like, I know, I think Amos is one, and I think, there's another couple that I can't remember their names at the moment.
Got it.
But, yeah, they're all... overlappy.
I feel like it would do a lot better service to the message they're trying to get across,
mm-hmm.
if they referenced each other in their own stories, right?
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Yeah, but they don't.
Like, when you're reading books that are standalone books, but they exist in the same universe, so they, like, reference characters from other... And it's just, like, this one time you see their name... And that's it. And it's like fan service. We need some fan service in the Bible.
It would lend some credibility
mm-hmm.
to the messages that they're trying to, you know, push forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's other people saying the same message and they're not listening to a multitude of prophets who are saying the correct message, that's different than not listening to one crazy person who is going off about the same thing and getting in trouble because everyone thinks he's fucking crazy.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Agree with you.
So
totally agree with you. But yeah, there are some other prophets. We're not there yet.
Okay.
But they are existing. We just, they haven't been mentioned.
Sure.
Except in the notes that I've been taking.
Got it.
That reference these other guys.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, those are happening at the same time.
It's very
confusing.
Yeah, it's almost as confusing as like how all the kings broke down when we were talking, you know,
First Kings, Second Kings,
Chronicles, all that kind of shit. Yeah,
like
when
we did the Kingses and then we did the Chronicleses.
Right.
And those were like all happening at the same time. And then like when we were doing Samuel, was it? Samuel. And there was all of the Psalms and Proverbs that are supposed to be at the same time as him or something like that. It was Solomon.
Yeah.
They both start with S, so I get them confused. But no, you're right. It was Solomon.
Right.
So it's very confusing. And I hate having to be told from outside sources, oh, those are happening at the same time.
Right.
Not consecutively.
Well, it's because this isn't like a really easy to read book. It's not.
Right.
This is a conglomeration of a bunch of shit just thrown into a pile.
Right.
And
it's very confusing for me.
Right.
I have a difficult time as it is. And this is making it even worse.
Right. No, I gotcha.
So he's saying, Jeremiah is saying, I've spoken to you rising early and speaking, but you have not listened. And the Lord has sent to you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not listened nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, repent now, everyone, of his evil way and his evil doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers forever and ever. Do not go after other gods to serve them and worship them, and do not provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, and I will not harm you. Yet you have not listened to me, says the Lord. Per Jeremiah.
Sure. And we're just repeating the same fucking message
yes.
that's been all through Jeremiah so far.
Yes. that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt.
I'm assuming that's referring to like working on the Sabbath and or like worshiping other gods with things that you're doing. Is mm-hmm. that
yeah.
maybe what we're getting at? One of those yeah. things?
He's saying you're not listening to me. You're doing bad things.
Sure.
And the bad things are all the things that we've listed up until now.
Got it.
So, okay. yeah. Especially with the Christmas trees. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, against its inhabitants, and against these nations all around, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment, a hissing, and perpetual desolations.
I wish I could go back in history and interview Nebuchadnezzar and ask him how he felt about being God's servant.
Right? Yeah. Did you know,
yeah.
bro?
By the by.
Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp.
He's going to fuck them up.
He's going to fuck them up, and it's going to be, the desolation will be so solid that it'll be silent and dark
Got
in
it.
Those lands. You yeah. won't hear a single damn thing because sure. it'll just be death in the
right,
valley.
Right.
And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years.
70 years. Okay. All right.
Then it will come to pass when 70 years are completed that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of Chaldeans, for their iniquity, says the Lord.
You realize that he's talking about punishing a king of Babylon that has not even probably been born yet.
Right.
Fucking hilarious.
Right.
Like, okay, God's responsible for all the universe, all the world, all the people, all the things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's using Nebuchadnezzar as a tool, right? Because
right.
he's God. He can use this guy as a tool.
Uh-huh.
And he's taking him and he's killing his people and enslaving them for 70 years, right?
Right.
Oh, man, they didn't listen. I'm going to enslave them. I'm going to bring them over here to Babylon. And then you know what? I'm going to kill that fucking king 70 years from now who hasn't even been born yet. I could put the word of God in him and make him like a good person. But you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to kill him.
Yeah.
You put the word of God in Jeremiah in the womb.
Yeah. Before the womb.
Before the womb. You let this king of Babylon just fucking die because you're an asshole.
Right.
That's the only fucking answer
yeah.
that can possibly be correct because you have, according to the words that we have read, you have the ability to manipulate people to make
and
them
situations.
Do and feel and say the things that you want them to say.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you'd rather let him not do the things you want him to do and then kill him.
And then be like, what? Free will.
It's bullshit.
Yeah.
It can't be free will if you're deeming that this thing is going to happen 70 years from now to somebody who doesn't even exist yet.
Right.
That's not free will.
That's bullshittery.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it is. All right. So says the Lord, and I will make it a perpetual desolation. So I will bring on that land all my words, which I have pronounced against it. All that is written in this book, which Jeremiah has prophesied concerning all the nations.
Okay.
What book is that?
I don't, the one he's writing now, this book?
This
the
book?
The Jeremiah's book?
The Jeremiah the chapters.
Jeremiah Gospels.
Right?
I
don't know. Okay, and then this is in parentheses, ready? Parentheses voice.
Okay.
For many nations and great kings shall be served by them also, and I will repay them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands.
Okay.
In parentheses.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know why that was in parentheses,
got it.
But.
Yeah.
All right, new section. Ready?
Okay, yep.
For thus says the Lord God of Israel to me, Jeremiah,
yeah.
Take this wine cup of fury from my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it. He's sending his poison their way, his
okay.
wrath.
Okay.
He's calling his wrath a cup of fury.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they will drink and stagger and go mad because of the sword that I will send among them. So then I, Jeremiah, took the cup from the Lord's hand and made all the nations drink. to whom the Lord had sent me. Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, its kings and its princes, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, a hissing, and a curse, as it is this day. Pharaoh, we're going down a bulleted list now, okay?
Yeah, I'm trying to sort this out in my head a little bit.
So. He's basically saying, God has charged me to deliver the message to all of these nations that he's coming to fuck their shit up.
Right, but I can't quite determine whether this is, because it feels like we were talking about pre-Babylonian exile, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now are we talking post-Babylonian exile? Or is this still pre-Babylonian where he's sending the cup of fury to
70 years later?
Them? Well, I was going to say to infuriate the people to attack Jerusalem.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know for sure. I'm just trying to like sort it out here a little bit.
Okay.
Like it almost sounds like it could be interpreted maybe if I'm, I don't know that I'm hearing this correctly or you know, but maybe it sounds like Jeremiah is like actually instigating people to attack Jerusalem.
I'm not sure. Give me just a sec.
Okay. We don't have to figure it out today necessarily. We could dig into that for our Q&A and figure that out then too. It doesn't have to be something that we.
I think he's talking, if I read my notes correctly.
Yeah.
I think he's talking about these are all the nations that I'm coming to get.
Okay.
When the 70 years are up.
Okay.
And because the cup of wrath is something that he has used before. Like, I don't know if you recall, it was in Psalms it was used, I think.
Okay.
And then also later in the New Testament, Jesus says, take this cup from my hands or something. And he's like, I don't want to be judged. I don't want to die on the cross. This sucks. God, take this cup from my lips.
Got it.
And okay. So he uses this cup thing. It just means judgment and wrath.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what I picked up from my notes. That's not me
saying.
So I
was just having a hard time following exactly what we were talking about there. So I was just trying to ask some questions to make sure I might want you to dig into that a little bit for the Q&A.
I'm going to lean on my notes currently. I could be wrong, and we will get into this more when we get to our Q&A on Saturday.
Sure.
But from what I understand, Jeremiah is prophesying, you are going to drink this cup, all of these nations that have fucked with us, and bad shit's going to happen.
Okay.
And, you know, this is coming down the pike.
Okay.
All right. Y'all look out. And yeah, at the same time that he's saying this, that is going to incite those other nations to wrath and to come and be like, excuse you?
Right.
Like, God's going to fuck our shit up? I don't think so. Hey, why don't I just kill you? So I'm not saying that you're wrong.
Okay.
But I think the intent here is that he's giving a warning to these other nations of what's coming.
Okay.
Because when I was reading the notes, they were saying that the other nations must have been astonished to have been listed in these prophecies, which means that he's saying them before the time. You know what I mean?
Got it. Okay.
So I don't know.
Again, I don't find that as astonishing as they're trying to make that out to be because...
No, right. Totally.
We've talked about how things move slower, right? We can see people coming and wanting to attack us and political things happening. It's not hard to see that stuff.
Sure. But I am going to read down a list now of all the places that he's going to get you.
All right.
God going to get you.
This is in the Bible.
In the Bible. Okay.
Yeah.
So I made the nations drink to whom the Lord had sent me. Okay. So First one is Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, its kings and its princes, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, a hissing, and a curse, as it is this day. Okay, so that's the first one on the list. Okay,
which is why it made me think this is pre-Babylonian exile.
Yes.
Right? That's why I was confused a little bit.
This is before the 70 years have started.
Mm-hmm.
So it's during the time when Nebuchadnezzar has come in more than once.
Yeah.
But the 70 years of slavehood hasn't started yet.
Okay.
It's about to come.
Okay.
You know, for 25 chapters, it's been about to come.
Sure. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one on the list. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, his servants, his princes, and all his people, all the mixed multitude, all the kings of the land of Uz, all the kings of the land of the Philistines, namely Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod, Edom, Moab, and the people of Ammon, all the kings of Tyre, all the kings of Sidon, and the kings of the coastlands which are across the sea, Dedan, Temah, Buz, and all who are in the farthest corners, all the kings of Arabia, and all the kings of the mixed multitude who dwell in the desert, all the kings of Zimri, all the kings of Elam, and all the kings of the Medes, all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world which are on the face of the earth.
Okay, come on now. That's some bullshit. Like, you're listing off localized groups of people mm-hmm. that you are aware of, and then you just toss in all the kings of the world.
And plus everybody else. Like, just in case there's people I missed because I haven't traveled there yet.
Right, yeah.
So, we will get into all of those different nations on Saturday.
Okay.
Because there is more information about them. But one of the notes is that these groups have been identified as various North Arabian tribes and comprise kingdoms that made up virtually the entire world of the Old Testament.
Known world. Right.
Right. Yeah. The entire world of the Old Testament right. is okay. the rest of that sentence. Okay, sure. Yeah.
Yep.
So I won't go into what all those nations are. We will read about those in our Q&A, though.
Okay.
I keep saying on Saturday, which is tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah. So just keep this in the back of your head. This is going to be probably the most interesting of the notes.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Next comes also the king of Shishak shall drink after them.
The Shishak collects seashells down by the seashore?
Yes. And okay. I am going to go ahead and clarify that briefly. Uh-huh. But again, I'll talk more about who that is okay. tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah.
Shishak is a code name for the Babylonians.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just keep that in the back of your head for tomorrow.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're talking again about the Babylonians but in code now.
Mm, yeah.
Okay.
Because what we need is more vagueness in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need.
It's a Hebrew code that they use. Okay, like I said, I'm not going to get into all of that, but yes.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
For reasons.
Okay? Sure, sure.
So the king of Shishak shall drink after them. Therefore, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink, be drunk, and vomit. Fall and rise no more because of the sword which I will send among you. And actually, originally it didn't say vomit. I forget what else. It was some other word for like hacking it up and puke.
Blech. Got it.
But it was like a more gross word.
Wretch?
Not wretch. Say some more.
Oh, I don't have any more. Okay. That's
okay.
I wasn't prepared to come up with, you know.
Well, you said wretch, and so I thought you were going to, like, name some more words.
No, it was just like, the first one that came to my head, that's all.
It's not that one, okay. But it's like a hack it up
spew. Kind of thing.
Spew, that's the one.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, spew. Right.
Got it.
And so there was, like, this note that said, ew, why did it have to say spew instead of vomit? Like, and then now I'm reading our version, and it's vomit.
Got it.
So they cleaned it up.
Okay.
They cleaned it up. But originally it was spew.
See, I think vomit sounds worse than spew, personally.
But vomit is more of a like medical term kind of thing.
Okay.
Whereas spew is like, you know, ugh, like it just went everywhere. He spewed.
Right. But I like the word spew because you can use it in other ways. Like, you know, he's spewing all kinds of bullshit. Or, you know, like, you know, it's very...
It's a more versatile word.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, then there's always word vomit. So.
Right, but I feel like spew is a little bit more versatile than vomit is.
And the reason is because spew is a little bit more gross.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more...
And only on our podcast can we talk about the nuances and usability of words for the difference between different types of vomiting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. It's true. And it shall be if they refuse to take the cup from your hand to drink, then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, you shall certainly fucking drink. For behold... I begin to bring calamity on the city, which is called by my name. And should you be utterly unpunished, you shall not be unpunished. For I will call for a sword on all the inhabitants of the earth, says the Lord of hosts.
Hold on. So you're going to drink my goddamn cup. And if you don't, I'm going to kill you. And the cup, what's the cup going to do? It's going to kill you.
Right.
What the fuck?
No. If you drink from the cup, it doesn't kill you. It makes you cuckoo beans.
Okay.
It makes you spew and be crazy with fury or whatever.
Right, which will probably get your ass killed.
Right.
Right? So either way, you're probably going to... One way you're going to die at the hands of your other people that you're fighting. The other way, God's going to maybe smite you, but he doesn't really do smiting as much as he used to, so who knows?
And here's another thing. Like, why are we talking about whether they're going to physically drink from the cup or not when there's not a physical cup? This is all allegory. This is all parable. Right. This is all symbolism. And
as you were saying that, I was like literally imagining Jeremiah going to all these kingdoms with a fucking cup of wine.
Right?
To have them drink.
You got
to
drink it.
The fury wine, you know?
Drink the fury wine. And like, that's not how that went. That's right, not how it goes.
No, I know, but that's like what they're saying.
Right.
You know, like literally saying.
And then he's like, you're going to drink it. And it's like, but are they?
They take these metaphors, they take them way too far.
Yes.
Like they make it sound like it's an actual thing that's happening.
Instead of saying, this is a metaphor, by the by.
Right.
This is a vision. This is a you know, example, if you will.
Yeah.
Therefore, prophesy against them all these words and say to them, the Lord will roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He will roar mightily against his fold. He will give a shout, let it all out. These are the things
we can do without.
Come on. Yeah.
Yeah.
As those who tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. I want to tread grapes. Like, have you ever seen, what is it? Okay, Keanu Reeves was in it, and it was A Walk in the Clouds. That's what it was. And he goes to, like, I think he's in Italy or something. Like, he's just got out of the army maybe or something. I'm not quite sure. But anyway, he's with this family, and I forget how he ends up there. I think he's just, like, a vagabond or something, but he ends up falling in love with the girl, or she brings him home to pretend that he's her husband. I forget how it works, but anyway, there's this whole scene where they're squishing the grapes. Mm. They're treading in the grapes.
Yeah.
So romantic.
Yeah.
It's a really great movie.
Right.
I highly recommend it if you love you some stupid romance. A noise will come to the ends of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with the nations. He will plead his case with all flesh. He will give those who are wicked to the sword, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, disaster shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the farthest parts of the earth.
There's that whirlwind again.
There's those tumbleweeds again. And at that day, the slain of the Lord shall be from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. Okay.
Their known little circle of the earth anyway.
In the Arabias.
Because places. They don't even have, like, he keeps talking about swords. Yeah. Maybe you talk about like the Native Americans, they didn't have fucking swords.
Right.
It's spears. Yeah. I mean, there's blades on those things, I guess, but like, they didn't have swords.
Right.
So this doesn't apply worldwide.
Right. You're wrong.
Yeah. There's even cultures still today that don't have, you know, the technology to make swords.
Right.
So
you're wrong.
This is all bullshit.
Yeah. They shall not be lamented or gathered or buried. Although of course, all them dead people.
He's big on that, not burying people lately.
Well,
and scattering them and you
because
know.
It's the ultimate.
No. I got it. So, I understand why. It's been brought up so many times lately that I'm like, okay, I get it.
That tells you how important it was to them, though.
Yeah.
They shall become refuse on the ground. So they trash.
Right.
Wail, shepherds, and cry. So the shepherds are the leaders. He's telling the leaders of the people.
Right. Yeah.
The priests and all that.
Yep.
The leadership people that aren't the kings.
Right.
Roll about in the ashes, you leaders of the flock, the leader of the flock. For the days of your slaughter and your dispersions are fulfilled. You shall fall like a precious vessel. Mm. I mean, if it falls, is it precious?
I don't know why he would be calling them precious vessels, because they were doing false prophecies. They were doing false messages, right? Mm-hmm. They wouldn't be precious. They'd be worthless, yeah, right?
And like,
that would be my interpretation of how God should, in canon, the way God's talking about them, that's the way he should be thinking about them if he is speaking about them this way. But to call them precious is a little, and again, we've talked about how things get lost in translation. So who knows what this,
that's true.
Who knows? Whatever.
That is true. And the shepherds will have no way to flee, nor the leaders of the flock to escape. A voice of the cry of the shepherds and a wailing of the leaders to the flock will be heard. For the Lord has plundered their pasture, and the peaceful dwellings are cut down because of the fierce anger of the Lord. He has left his lair like the lion.
What does a lion leave a lair like?
Roaring.
Oh.
And okay. Angry.
All right, got it.
He gonna get ya.
Got it. Yeah. Okay.
He has left his lair like the lion, for their land is desolate because of the fierceness of the capital O oppressor.
Okay.
And because of his fierce anger. The end.
They're referring to God as an oppressor?
God is referring to himself.
Yeah. Okay. Referring to himself as an oppressor. That is, wow.
Right?
I don't know how to take that.
Right?
Like, is he doing some self-examination here? Is he,
you are just saying it like it is now, huh, sir?
Right?
You're like, I'm a fucking oppressor.
We're not
going to
beat around the bush here. I am this awful thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to say it out loud here.
Yeah.
In my own words.
Yeah.
Through Jeremiah. But, still my own words. Yeah.
Not just an oppressor, a capital O oppressor.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he is Yahweh. He is the Lord of hosts. And he is capital O oppressor.
Yeah.
So.
He's the great I am, that oppressor.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the things that they capitalize in the Bible
mm-hmm.
are interesting. It would be interesting just to go through and list all the ways and all the names that they have called God through capitalization,
mm-hmm.
just to see what all names have actually applied to God at some level.
Right.
Right? Because there's been so many.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just like a list of all the capital God names that have been referred to him in some sense or fashion.
I'm sure that list exists.
I might look it up because I'm curious. Curious. But
I hope oppressor is on that list.
I do too. Yeah. If not, we'll have to like put in a correction or something,
Yeah.
He called himself an oppressor.
I would like to speak to the manager, please. Let me see your oppressor.
Right. Yeah. So is that all we got for today?
That's all we got for today.
Awesome. Well, that ends another week of our Bible study and bullshit. And that was Jeremiah chapter 25.
Sure as fuck was.
And that means that tomorrow is Saturday, and mm-hmm. we'll be back with our
Q&A Saturday.
And then this Sunday, I believe, we're doing the
Sacrilegious Book Club.
And after that, I will get the weekly wrap-up together, and we will be back on Monday with
Jeremiah chapter 26.
All right. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Hey, wife, I guess that's the end?
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.